This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Welcome to Monday. It is a numbers game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with Kelly Bidlin at the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. This show is absolutely flying by.
Yes, it is.
It's a holiday around here. It's a couple things converging at one time. One, Major League Baseball's trade deadline. It goes down 6 p.m. Eastern time. Based on everything I'm reading, there are teams in contention that are trying to trade away guys in their rotation. Like the Texas Rangers have made Mackenzie Gore available.
Wow.
It is very, very interesting.
Okay.
Everyone, I think there's two games being played at once. There's this year, and there's the eventual fear of a salary cap coming and trying to get under whatever that may be now.
I mean, that Blue Jays Soriano move is that's a look toward the future move, right?
For Toronto?
Yeah.
It's brilliant because they're going to lose all these older arms that they have. And you'll pair Soriano with your Savage and Dylan Cease going forward.
I like it, man.
That's a lot of strikeouts in that rotation right there.
Well, was baseball trade deadline the holiday you were referring to?
No, the other holiday is the college football betting guide is out at VSiN.com.
No, I'm not like, you know how we've been working in broadcast way too long? Like, you just.
Today a holiday?
I don't even. No. I just walked outside. There's like way more people in the casino than I would normally think Monday at 9 a.m. No, but I just checked. I don't think there is.
Well, let's see. A couple things.
Except for British Columbia Day. Happy to those who celebrate.
There are three observances today, and I'm not doing shtick. National Grab Some Nuts Day.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at the same thing you are right now. Yep.
Oh, should be fun when I get home today. National Clean Your Floors Day. Not participating.
Not participating.
National Watermelon Day. I can get behind that one.
I can buy that, too.
Two out of three. I'll take it.
Wow. Okay. Everything really does have a holiday.
National Grab Some Nuts Day is a wild.
I was really not thinking that was going to show up when I opened up that tab.
That is a wild event. National Georgia Day, as in the state of Georgia, it looks like. No. I don't know if that's state of Georgia. It might be
the country of Georgia?
The country of Georgia.
Wow.
But it looks like there's peaches in the ad for it. So I'm not totally sure here.
Probably the state then.
Yeah, that looks like that. All we have going. International Clown Week begins today. I know everyone's saying, "Yeah, dude, you're filling in for Gil. That's why you're here."
Oh,
hey,
what is that? Does that mean does Insane Clown Posse? Does that still exist? First of all,
ICP.
Yeah, does that still exist? It has to, right?
Probably, but like at this point, are they like doing mosh pits with like their walkers?
Right. Yeah. Like, are they all still like alive? How many of them were there?
There was two.
Oh, that's it?
I believe so.
It was like a full band.
Insane
Clown Posse.
What's that called? A juggalo?
Yeah, juggalo. Like, do they have to perform somewhere this week? You would think so on International Clown Week.
They've been going since 1989.
Are you serious?
They have concerts. If you're in Vail, South Dakota, you can see them on the 14th.
Bro, there you go. That's a party.
If you're in Vail, South Dakota, I mean, there's not that much to do. I'd still argue you could spend your time doing other things than seeing the Insane Clown Posse. That is a tough one right now.
Man.
Yeah, it is a Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Only two of them, huh?
Yeah.
89. Wow. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, that's quite a run that they're still going. Congratulations to them. They've certainly defied the odds.
They really have.
Can Gil Alexander defy the odds back-to-back months? He cashed 80-1 the Boston Red Sox to have the most wins in baseball for the month of July. In the month of August, what does Gil roll with? He went with the Detroit Tigers 60-1. I'm sure you saw the tweets we were getting Friday after Gil's appearance. It was like, hang on, Gil steamed it down. It's down to 30-1. Gil steamed it down. It's down to 20-1. You hit one of these things and everyone wants to jump on your next play. And things got off to a good start for old Gil Alexander because Detroit, even though they traded Tarek Skubal yesterday, 3-0 against the A's over the weekend.
Yeah, I was enjoying the tweets we were getting too. I mean, Gil was, it was one of the first questions we had for him. We talked about it openly. He goes with the Tigers. So we talked about Skubal and the chances of him being traded. It was laughing at how many tweets we were getting. But like, doesn't he know that Skubal's going to be traded? It was like, it was part of it.
That's why the number was 60-1.
Right. Yeah. It was part of it.
I think that's probably my least favorite thing to hear from people when you bet a long shot. Are you aware this is happening? Yes. It's baked into the market. And the reason I'm betting it is because I think that's not as big of a hindrance as you think it is.
Right.
Like, it's my favorite. Are you aware this is happening? Yeah, that's why I like this. Either way, most wins in the month of August. The Red Sox begin August coming off a winning last month, 3-0. They sweep the Dodgers to start things off. So good start for them there.
2-0 in August, though, right? I have my dates right?
Oh, yeah, 2-0 in August. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Because
Friday
right.
be the 31st.
Friday was the 31st.
Okay, good.
You're right. I'm throwing
just
you
checking
off.
My work on air. Yeah,
you're,
yeah.
You're right. I'm going series. You're going month. Red Sox 2-0. Phillies 2-0. I believe the Astros 2-0, too. Am I wrong on that? I thought the Astros just swept Texas over the weekend.
They are, let's see.
Astros should be, yeah, the Astros are 2-0 as well.
They're 20-1. Okay. That's why they didn't make the graph. Oh, I was going by odds order.
Got it. I bet them at 28-1 when we left the show Friday. That was my play.
So you'd probably still like them at 20.
I do still like them at 20.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
20-1 over at DraftKings right now. Obviously, check around. I have DraftKings pulled up. Up at Caesars, up at Circa as well. Actually, Circa might have them down now.
Yeah.
But Caesars should have them up as well.
The other team I originally considered was the Braves, 12-1. It's 9-1. I think that people were scared off by the schedule for the Braves, but I just remember looking at it and thinking, you know what? This team has a huge upside, and I'm not scared of the Yankees as much as I would have been if right. Judge was healthy. They go to the Bronx after 3 with Miami coming up to start the week. The Mets are not scary. I think that Arizona, to me, is good, and they're a wild card team, but I think the Braves are better. At Minnesota keeps doing this. I don't know how. I think the Braves are better. It's the end of the month where you have Milwaukee and the Dodgers back-to-back, but they finish strong with 3 against Colorado and 1 against the Giants. I think you can make up for a lot, and we just saw Los Angeles can be susceptible. They just got swept at home by Boston. So I still like the Braves as a look at 9-1, but I'll stand by Houston. I think the thing that's totally being underrated with the Astros, the pitching was so bad in April and May. They've finally gotten things going right. Hunter Brown is healthy. Javier goes tonight. If he can put together some good starts like he's capable of being, that would be massive. But more importantly, the bullpen was pitching them out of games early in the year. Since Josh Hader came off the IL to begin the season, they have dropped a few slots in being one of the, not better, but not as bad in the bullpen this season. I think with that continuing for Houston, I still like them at 20-1.
Yeah, I like that too. The other one I was going to check on, because this really jumped out to me when Gil joined us on Friday, was him talking about the Cubs, liking them in the market too. This is pretty shocking. So the one that jumped out to me is just because they start with the Yankees and the yes. Dodgers, right? So I thought they could be a good live buy-in opportunity into this market, depending on how they do those first 5 games between those two teams. Lost the first 2 to the Yankees. DraftKings is still all over it because they had them at 18-1 to open. They're 16-1 now.
Yeah,
starting the month off 0-2.
Well, it's almost like you want to wait till after the Dodgers and then buy then because they have a makeup game with Toronto.
So yes, but like they can't be 0-5. You know what I mean? Like it's I'm not betting it 0-5. You're talking to them being 2-3 or something like that. Then yeah, I'd probably buy in then.
You want a little bit of hope,
right?
I get where you're at. Speaking of the Cubbies, I'm gonna ride with them today. Interesting matchup for Chicago against the Dodgers. This one's being played at Wrigley. The win, I don't think, will be as big of a factor. It is slightly blowing in, it looks like. Matthew Boyd against Justin Robleski. Total's 8. But I got the Cubs this morning at plus 110. It's down to plus 104. Dodgers minus 126 on the road. Kelly, this is one of those bets where you just take a shot on the dog because you like the number.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd's been in awesome form lately. He's really, like, since he came off the IL, been solid for them. 7 shutout innings at the Cardinals last go-around, a 1.67 ERA over his last 5. 4 of those were on the road. He comes back home. Dodgers good OPS-wise, 6th in baseball against lefties. But how about the Cubs? Cubs 2nd in OPS against lefties. Robleski finally is getting hit hard his last 2 starts. 5 earned in 6 innings against Seattle. ERA's a little bit higher the last few starts for him. And looking at some trends, Matthew Boyd, 9-1 straight up since 2024 against good power-hitting teams that hit more than 1.25 homers per game. He's 8-0 since 2025 against the NL, teams scoring 4.5 or more runs per game. Give me Chicago at home, plus money. I don't love going against the Dodgers after a 3-game skid. Just feels like that they're due to get right, but I'm just going to back Chicago at plus money here on principle.
Yeah, I like it. I was just going to check to see if... I don't think Caesars has most wins in August up. Because you're right. If you're going to be betting that, I might have to make that Cubs bet before this game tonight.
Yeah, I think it's worth a shot looking at the Cubs here at a plus price. I think the one thing I'm noticing in my baseball handicapping right now, I'm getting too favorite heavy.
Mm.
And it's coming back to get me. And one thing that used to be an issue for me is I used to back too many dogs. I think late in the year, I'm letting the big picture narrative get the better of me and not realizing that these are isolated games in a vacuum. Maybe if you want to bet the series, go with the favorites. But game in, game out, dogs are still going to be live because some of these guys are trying to prove it for contracts, for jobs next year, for solidifying their roles. They're not just laying down and dying like we sometimes assume they're going to do because their team isn't good.
Yeah. No, I think so. That's more of a you think you're just underrating some of the bad teams too much.
Yeah, I think I'm just laying the wood too much. Mm. And I think it's more about identifying dogs in baseball. And that's how it is all season long. Like for me, when I'm in a bad rut, my move is always I'm only allowed to bet one or two dogs on the board. I can't lay it with a favorite until I hit a dog or two. And then I go, OK, cool. I'm seeing the board right. One last game that I really like today. Give me the under in the Yankees and the Cardinals. I like the under 8 a lot at minus 114. St. Louis lost 2 of 3. They've lost 12 of 16. They're starting to scuffle. Yankees won 2 of 3 at the Cubs. It's McGreevy against Schlittler. Schlittler's off 6 and a third, 1 earned, 8 strikeouts at the White Sox. He's got a 1.93 ERA his last 5. Both teams on underruns, though. St. Louis 19-8-1 to the underrun. The Yankees 17-9 to the underrun. The Yankees 18-8 team total underrun. They're not hitting much. McGreevy's been getting away with this for all season with allowing contact and beating teams and keeping them at bay. McGreevy 6-0 to the under as a road dog of even money or higher. He's 13-2 to the under when working or on 5 or 6 days rest. I love the under here. Yankees offense has not been hitting well without Judge. I trust Schlittler to shut down the Cardinals. That's where I'm going to look there, under 8 in that contest between the Cardinals and the Yankees. Will Levis believes he's ranked where in the NFL quarterback echelon? We'll discuss next on A Numbers Game.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on A Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We get tweets.
We get tweets.
At VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson, at Kelly Bidlin. Really easy to remember all those if you can spell it
right.
Yeah,
if you can spell it, ours are easier to remember.
So, some interesting stuff coming in. Matthew Mayberry writes in, we just had Rangers D-backs in the World Series. Braves Rays or Rays Brewers is definitely possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm saying Rob Manfred in a season before a potential lockout, trying to maximize money for the owners. Remember, he works for the owners.
Yeah, his worst nightmare.
His worst nightmare would be those teams meeting in the World Series. He wants big markets. He wants headlines. He wants it to go 7. He cannot afford Rays Brewers. Honestly, like, that might change baseball forever if that winds up being the World Series before a CBA negotiation.
Oh, man, it could. It could. Hey, that Scooble's start, that last start might have just changed baseball forever. Who knows?
Now, this is insanity. Mateo writes in, Tampa Bay to beat the Brewers. He got it 500-1 on an exacta.
Sweet. Right now?
I don't think he bet that right now. I think he has that in pocket, but that is hey, look, I think it'd be good baseball. I think it'd be fun baseball. It'd be throwback because these teams don't rely on the home run. And the starting pitching is forward for both squads. But, man, I just don't know if you're hooking the whole country at that point.
Oh, yeah. I did see his tweet earlier. Yeah. Old Matteo there.
Yeah.
5,001 from November. Good on him.
Sean Higgs. What up, Sean? Writes in. Love the spot from Mike Montesano earlier. Florida Gators under money. He likes the under on old Chomp Chomp down there in Gainesville. The Treble 20 writes in. Are you related to the troublemakers who got robbed in Pitch Perfect? Should have won that first. Pitch Perfect won. The troublemakers got so screwed out of winning that. Their performance was so much better than the Bart and Bella's. It's a joke that movie like got so many sequels after that went down. Either way, Phillies may get hot late, he writes in. With all the talent they have, how could they, with how they started the season, I think the Phillies can get hot and take out the Dodgers. Me too. I'm still on them. You can still get them, I think, like 19-1 to win the World Series. I don't hate that, because if they get past the Dodgers, they're going to be better than whoever they see in the American League.
They're so easy to root for. At least for me, I don't know. I find them so easy to root for. I have a feeling I'll be making that bet at some point. I forgot how much money I had on them to make the playoffs. So this and not that I was counting my money already, Dustin, but I hadn't really been worried about it for a while.
Well, since the All-Star break, it's not gone well for the Phils, but we just need them to be there in October. This wasn't a regular season thing, right? It was always about what they're going to do once we get to the postseason. The game is played a little bit differently. Patrick Kelly writes in, good morning. Used to be a pretty nice Delta regional service between Atlanta and Tallahassee, early 2010s, I think. I used to do the Atlanta into Valdosta, Georgia, not direct, but hop on the regional. My flight from anywhere in the country, let's say it was from LA to Atlanta, was cheaper LA to Atlanta than it was from Atlanta to Valdosta.
Are you serious? That's crazy. Just because the hub?
Yeah, because it's a hub. Yeah. And there's only a few flights a day. The flight was always empty, too, by the way. They definitely lose money doing those regional flights.
That's crazy. Yeah, it's only like you hear a lot of them shutting down.
Yeah, it's only like an hour, hour and a half flight. And if you think about it.
I was just going to ask. It's that long?
It's like an hour, 45 minutes. By the time you would get through security, take your shoes off, right? You get there early. You wait for the plane. You board.
Yeah, you do more in the airport.
You get off the plane. You probably could have done the 3.5-hour drive.
Oh, yeah.
That's always my thing, driving Vegas to Los Angeles. Is I'd rather drive because I can control when I come and go. But more importantly, by the time I got to the airport here early and everything goes down, and I finally get where I want to be in LA, I could be 20 minutes out driving.
Oh, and the biggest thing with those types of things, because I did Tallahassee to Fort Lauderdale was only like a 45 minute flight. That's why I thought that was a little odd. But you like to have a car too, right? If you're like in LA, you need a car.
Driving city.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, then John Osher points out what we're all thinking. Wow, that was awfully close to Shuttler blanks down the Yankees. It was very close before the break. I caught myself. I did not go full two bomb there with that one.
I think you're good. I think you were good.
Yeah, I heard
the initial screw up, and I don't think you dropped it when you were correcting yourself.
No,
I didn't hear it.
I'm confident that I didn't. I'm confident that I didn't. Speaking of confidence, you know who's confident? Will Levis. And I'm not really sure what the outrage is over what we're about to play for you. Will Levis, backup quarterback in Tennessee. He's probably third on the depth chart now with the addition of Mitchell Trubisky to back up Cam Ward. He was asked about where he's at in his career, what's going on, how he views himself. And he had this to say over the weekend.
I'm just trying to be the best version of me at this point. And I have more confidence than I've ever had because of that. I don't need to go out there and win X amount of games before I can feel the confidence. Like, I have the confidence right now. I know I've put the tape out there already that I'm a dang good quarterback in this league, and I'm even better than I ever have been. So,
the faith that you have a future as a starter in this league?
100%. I know I'm, I think there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me. I know that for sure.
Okay. We can all acknowledge that that's not true. But can we also acknowledge, what else is he supposed to say? You know what, guys? I'm just happy to be on a roster. I'm probably like quarterback 48 in the league right now.
Right.
I'd really love for another team, though, to keep me on when I get cut from Tennessee at some point this year. He's supposed to say, I believe I'm a starter. I believe in opportunity. And if we're going to be fair to Will Levis, look, it's been ugly. He's very turnover prone. He has a lot of issues. I'm not sure he was ready to play when he started playing for the Titans. And there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of ability. If we were just watching him in gym shorts, right, practicing, you'd go, man, that's a dude. Problem is, there's more to playing quarterback than just the athleticism and the ability. But this is a guy that was compared to Josh Allen a lot coming out of Kentucky, previously at Penn State. I don't know what the outrage is, because what is he supposed to say there,
Kelly? It's such a great call by you. This picked up a lot of steam, and you just Google Will Levis right now. The amount of national, even non-sports news outlets that have run with this. It's the story because he sucks. And so, overdrafted, overrated guy, so we're all going to crush him, but I'm with you. What the hell is the guy supposed to say?
I'm Will Levis of Eason. I host the night show here. I'd like to have a better, an earlier, more primetime time slot. I love what I have. I'm passionate about it, and I love doing cashing out, but I'm Will Levis. Am I supposed to believe I'm just going to be the backup?
Right, exactly.
I'm going to be the guy who fills in all summer long?
You're allowed to aspire to more in life.
Yeah. If I don't have that attitude, what am I waking up and doing every day? Just accepting something for what it is when I think that I can do better, I can be better? That's how he's motivating himself as well, by saying, I want to be one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the league. You start saying these things, they become real.
Also, like, I know it's been bad. I know it's been bad. But, like, do you know some of the guys that we we've seen play quarterback over just the past couple years? There's been a lot of trash out there. I would think Levis gets another shot at some point here in his career. Max Brosmer last year. That was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life at quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Some other news from the Titans. An AFC exec says Cam Ward will take a jump in 2026. I saw this making the rounds on social. Talk about the pieces that they added. Win total 6.5. It's pretty trendy to go over on them. I lean over, but it's one of those where it's so popular, I don't know if I want to join it. Here's my favorite future bet for Tennessee. So there's a lot of new pieces being brought in. Carnell Tate, right? Calvin Ridley returns at receiver. Wandale Robinson, the third receiver for Cam Ward. And also offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. Wandale Robinson's season-long prop is 699.5 yards. They did not bring in Wandale Robinson to not utilize what he is. He is a volume receiver. He is a small slot guy. You feed him the ball 5, 6, 7 times a game. He had 1,000 yards last year for the Giants. And I think Tennessee is going to be losing. They're going to be throwing more from behind. But he was at 699 2 years ago. I think the familiarity in Daboll's system, Daboll trusting him, I think he gets more looks in this offense than Calvin Ridley.
I love the take. I love the bet. I'm a little surprised. It just if I had to guess what that number was, I wouldn't have thought it would be that high.
You would 5
just
something?
Just because he's technically the third wide receiver on the Titans, right? Yeah, probably be like 5-something, I would have guessed.
But he's playing the system.
I like the case, man. I like the case.
Yeah, he played in the system before. We have breaking news out of Major League Baseball. Trade deadline approaching 6 p.m. Eastern time. This from John Heyman. Joe Adell, you are a Cleveland Guardian.
Wow.
Wow. You imagine you have to pack up your house and move from Southern California, Orange County, and you're going to spend the rest of the year in Cleveland? Get ready to buy some jackets, Joe Adell. But hey, I like this move for the Guardians. Look, I've said I think the Guardians are a little feistier than it appears on the surface. They've not been playing well. The offense is always an issue. The thing that I like about them, while the pitching may lack the front-end stuff that we're normally used to seeing out of this team when they had like Bieber in their prime and whatnot, Gavin Williams, very strong. Parker Messick, very, very strong. And the question was, would they have enough power here to contend with some of the other teams? I think this is a nice little piece to pair with a healthy Jose Ramirez. Travis Bazzana has been killing the ball since he was called up from the minors. Manzardo has power. I like this move for Cleveland. They still have to like solidify themselves as a wild card team, but if and when they make the playoffs, I think Cleveland is built better for the playoffs than they are the regular season.
Yeah, this was sure feels like this was one of the more popular position player names that we were hearing the whole time was going to get moved. Also, Passan just tweeting Mariners acquiring outfielder Taylor Ward in a trade from the Baltimore Orioles.
That is a great move for Seattle. They need punch. He gives them that from the right side. Notorious lefty killer. Will they make another move or two? We'll discuss that and more as we roll on here on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Baseball trade deadline, 6 p.m. Eastern tonight. It has been fast and furious and juicy. Welcome back into A Numbers Game. That's how they describe this show as well, fast, furious, and juicy.
Yeah,
he's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Are you a Fast and the Furious fan?
Love them.
I have not seen like the last four, I want to say.
Okay, I love them. I want to say I'm one of those people that gets made fun of a lot for how much I enjoy the Fast and the Furious films. However, and I'd hate to admit this to the rest of the other Fast and the Furious fans,
it's gotten out of control.
I started, first of all, I did not see it when it like first came out, which was kind of like a new thing for me. I don't go to the theaters for them, but like, you know, I watch them as soon as they're available. Dustin, I shut it off. I think I fired it up like a month ago. Shut it off halfway through. That's the first time I've ever done that with one of those movies.
Okay. Here's the plot hole in Fast and the Furious that no one wants to talk about because we've jumped the shark. No, here's number one. The whole series began. The premise was they were stealing DVD players off of tractor trailers. And by the way, they weren't good at doing it. They almost got caught several times.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now they've saved the world multiple times over.
Oh, yeah.
They went from not being able to steal DVD players to saving the world. My favorite individual scene, it's kind of, I think it's the last one I saw, the one where The Rock redirects a missile on ice with his arm.
The biggest plot hole character there is, it's ludicrous.
Why?
He goes from like organizing jet ski like races, yes, in Miami in the second one to being like a feared hacker around the world by like every military.
No, that's a good call. That is a really good call. Some more calls being made in Major League Baseball with the trade deadline approaching. Taylor Ward traded to the Mariners. We touched on that before the break. I love that move for Seattle. I think this team stinks, by the way. I just want to point that out there. I have a preseason bet on them, 12-1 to win the World Series. God, they are so tantalizing just to think about if the pitching ever reaches its potential. But these dudes, whether it's Kirby or Logan Gilbert or Brian Wu, they're Bryce Miller. They're never right at the same time. One of them's good. The three other aren't. Two of them are good. Two of them are not. It's just they're so hard to trust, but it is certainly juicy, speaking of that word again, to look at the futures market, and they're 22-1 to win the World Series in a wide-open American League where everyone kind of stinks a little bit. Maybe you just isolate the AL pennant. You can get Seattle right now at 9-1. I've told myself I wasn't going to go back for more. I think that's worth a look. I hate saying that because I can't stand this team. They have let me down so many times. Last year, 2 or 3 years ago, I had them. 3 or 4, I've had them almost every year. I really will have FOMO if they wind up doing it this year and getting to the World Series, and I don't have enough on them.
Dude, how did we go from last year with Cal Raleigh to this year? My God.
He was hurt for a chunk of time, but also I think he's being pitched to a little bit differently this year.
Mm.
I think people figured out what he was doing, the success he was having, probably jumping fastballs last season, and now he's probably not getting as many good fastballs to hit.
Got 162 on the season. Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, he's not putting the ball in play. John Heyman reporting right now, Red Sox and Orioles talking seriously about Adley Rutschman. So that could be a fun move for the Boston Red Sox. Their lineup has been awesome lately, and the rotation is good for the regular season. I still don't buy them as a playoff team. I mean, maybe I'll probably be wrong. I'll admit that. I can kind of acknowledge that I have a stubbornness about me that sometimes bites me in the rear, but I still stand by. I don't know how they set up in a series with this squad. Sonny Gray is the ace, Suarez as the two, Peyton Tolley, who I like, Jake Bennett, who's been really good. I don't know, man. I think this is a team that's on a really good run, but I think of the reference to the movie Major League. Serrano hits a home run and the guy in the stands yells too high.
Yeah.
I think too soon. I think peaking too soon. I think playing way too good. I don't know how you sustain what they're doing right now into October. Yeah.
It's a fair point, man. We see this a lot, right? The team that gets hot and they get too hot too early, because there is a lot of baseball left to play here in the regular season. Then you got to be peaking right at the right time when you hit the playoffs.
At the same time, they're 6-1 to win the American League. They're better baseball team right now than the Yankees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't even argue with that one.
Yep.
They're better than the Yankees. They're also dominating first place teams. We hit this earlier for those that missed it. The Red Sox haven't lost to a first-place team since June 21st. 42 days, 4 series sweeps against the Dodgers, the White Sox, the Rays, and the Yankees. Since June 25th, they're 28-5. That is the best 33-game span in the history of the Red Sox, who've been around since the beginning.
It's incredible. Incredible.
So, as much as I don't buy them big picture, if you wanted to bet them 6-1 to win the American League, I don't hate it, because, again, I don't love anyone in the American League.
That's such a good stat. That's such a good, because I want to say, yeah, let's think of some teams to fade find some ways to fade this team going forward. But yeah, like that you would be okay. Maybe let's fade them in the playoffs. But they keep beating these really good teams that they're playing.
Exactly, they keep stepping up.
So yeah, it's kind of hard for us to sit here and say, once they hit the playoffs, it's going to stop then.
Yeah. In case you missed it, Joe Adell is a Guardian. Luis Arraez and Brooks Raley have both been traded to the Philadelphia Phillies, who I still think are a little bit undervalued, but that's one of those where I might be betting the Phillies to win the World Series going to my grave.
Yeah, like, you might
be. Just like burying myself in those tickets, and that's just going to do me in. The Braves grab Brent Suter, which I don't know what that really does. He comes over from the Angels, more of a swingman than an actual starter, more of a reliever, I guess. And this from Joel Sherman, Milwaukee is among the teams pursuing Clay Holmes. That is a really good fit for them. because if you need to in the playoffs, he has experience as a great setup guy when he was with the Yankees. I like the idea of Clay Holmes. If you get him as a starter now and a reliever once we get to the playoffs, that could be a really good versatility that he brings to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Got some NFL news coming down right now. For those interested in Thursday night's Hall of Fame game, Kenny Pickett will get the start for the Panthers.
Ooh, we already have a starter named. Wow. Do we know who's going to start on the other side for the,
I don't think so.
The Cardinals?
I haven't seen it.
I mean, I highly doubt it's Jacoby Brissett. Would it be Carson Beck? Who is the third for the Cardinals? That is the question. No, to be or not to be is actually the original question.
Well, it's Beck, isn't it? He's the second. He's the second right now on the depth chart.
Oh, no, you're right. Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, Minshew.
Second.
Yeah.
Oh, Minshew mania. Remember when that was the thing, when we convinced ourselves that was the starting quarterback?
Well, it's got. Oh, okay. And then what? Keaton Slovis is on the roster. It could be a. You're probably getting some Minshew on Thursday, right? I mean, Brissett. Do we even have a solid idea of how much practice Brissett has gotten in with the whole contract stuff going on?
I think he was practicing.
He was holed in the entire time? Okay.
Yeah, I think he was.
But you're probably not running him out anyways.
No, they're also installing a new offense, though.
Yeah, like, this might be tough. Yeah. You might see a little bit of all those guys on Thursday, except for Brissett. I think I'd be shocked if Brissett got out there.
I think I've been known around here to say crazy things, and people just know that, like, I do believe the crazy I'm saying. Here's my crazy thing coming out of this conversation. Kenny Pickett's going to start meaningful games for the Panthers this year. I think Bryce Young stinks. I think you're all falling for traps here. Kenny Pickett may stink, but I think Bryce Young is a liability, and Dave Canales knows it, and he doesn't want to get fired rolling with Bryce Young. If he can win games with Kenny Pickett, he proves to the organization he's more important than the quarterback.
You're not getting an argument out of me. I already bet the Panthers win total under. I'm not there on Bryce Young. I there's been some flashes. Like, I end up being dead wrong on this guy, but man, I haven't really understood it since he came into the league, Dustin. Like, it's like, if we're going to sit here and talk about little tiny Kyler Murray and how injury prone he is, yeah, got it. But he has some legs, he has some wheels that he can really move on, right? You don't get that same type of running ability from Bryce Young, who is not that much bigger than Kyler Murray.
No. And Tet McMillan returns, Xavier Leggett returns, Jalen Coker's back. They lose Chris Brazel, the Tennessee rookie.
They've lost like five guys.
They wanted McMillan to move to the slot. I don't know if they can do that without Brazel.
Yeah, you're probably right. And McMillan's awesome, by the way. As much as I think he's awesome, that was one really thought he was going to be an early first round pick, has a hell of a season, rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year
I'd rather have Igbuka, though. I think Igbuka's a better receiver.
Really?
You
know what? Igbuka actually surprised me more last year. I'd still rather have McMillan.
I think McMillan gets forced the ball more because he's the focal point. Igbuka wasn't a year ago. Running back's interesting. Chuba Hubbard back, but all the hype in camp is that Jonathan Brooks from Texas, huge ups. He has looked awesome.
That is, I feel like that is one of the number one offseason storylines I've read. Watch out, Jonathan Brooks this year.
Yeah, that is the guy everyone's going to have in their fantasy team. And we're going to get to like week 8, and you're going to be like, I'm just waiting for Jonathan Brooks to get his chance. Just waiting for, and we all believe the hype and it doesn't end up happening. Hey, the Circus Survivor documentary, it's heating up. This week's episode's called The Turning Point, and it's for good reason. In week 5, for the first time in Survivor history, the number one pick of the week goes down in flames on a Thursday night. Chaos following is unlike anything we've ever seen in Circus Survivor. By the time week 6 through 9 play out, the contenders separate from the pretenders. The pressure gets very, very real. $18.7 million is on the line. Watch the next episode Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. If you need to catch up, episodes 1 and 2 are on YouTube right now. Just search for VSiN Live.
Hey, we did some shooting for that on Saturday night.
We did. You and I are going to be in episodes, we think,
we were kind of working on Saturday when we were here.
Technically, yeah.
We were. Yeah, we were.
That's why we didn't have to pay for the Barry's meal.
That's right. But you're right. I don't know if it shows up on the actual documentary. We'll see.
Either way, hours were clocked. We'll look at the baseball card, what we like later on today. That's next on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander all week long. Kelly Bidlin lives here. He's always here. He would get a residency if Derek would build, I think, apartments here.
There's probably a pretty good chance, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've tried to convince him.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, we should at least have, like, a VSiN pad. You know what I mean?
No, that place would be disgusting. What are you talking about? I could smell it already.
Who would be here the most?
Humans?
Yeah, that's probably the two easy answers. I don't know. Matt Brown would be bad during football season.
Yeah, but Matt Brown is like, he's bougie. He wants to go back to his fancy house.
Yeah, you're right. He's here a lot. He'd want to go home.
I think humans would be here a lot. Paulie would probably be there a lot, squatting, hanging out.
To really get this set up. They should just blow out one suite for us. You know?
Honestly, if we had a VSiN Plus and it was Paulie Howard living with Matt Humans.
Oh, my God. There's a home run right there.
And there was a
home run.
But here's what I would do. So, like,
cameras everywhere.
Live cameras all the time. Yep. They can't escape it. But I would throw one more into the mix there just to stir it up. They have to live with Greg Peterson.
Yes. I mean, Greg should have his own reality show anyway. So, yeah.
I want all three of their lifestyles combining on a TV
and then
show.
You get like the even more interesting Greg running routes downtown. Like, I don't, you know, he's going to be running around the suite because someone would challenge him to do that. He's going to be running down Fremont Street. He's going to be running all around Art District and everything.
Yeah. And he comes back sweaty and they're eating fast food. Paulie's in like a tank top all day. Humans is in sweatpants.
That show alone would be more popular than whatever numbers VSiN does on YouTube.
Matt's yelling at Greg because he's giving out some number that Matt doesn't like for a basketball game.
Yep. This is quality entertainment.
Paulie is just kind of protecting his dog from the two of them in a fight. Like,
this is a really good idea. It's like a really good idea.
Over under women to visit that apartment.
I'm sitting over here thinking we need to force women into the situation somehow. Like, I don't know how that works. We'll figure that out though.
Speaking of Matt Humans, he has his top 10 college football teams. Man. It's up in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide available right now. You get previews of all 138 FBS teams. Also, our preseason top 50 from Matt Humans, proven betting systems from Steve Mackinnon, and all of our best bets for the upcoming college football season. Start today for just $9.99 or get a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription, VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. So I mentioned Matt Humans has his top 50. Here's the top 10. To see how the rest shake out here, you got to go get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide and see what he likes, because Matt Humans is one of the sharpest dudes when it comes to a lot of things. I think college football, I'd argue, is his best, but sometimes I'd say college basketball.
I wonder what he'd say. It's definitely those two, but I don't know which one he'd go with.
He's pretty good on golf too. Like, I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think he'd go college basketball.
I think he takes the most pride in college basketball because it's the one that requires the most work.
Mm-hmm.
But I still say college, especially week in and week out.
Yeah, college football and golf are right there.
I feel like I look up and Matt Humans is on like 8-2, 6-1 runs almost every weekend. So this is his top 10 teams in order. Now, how do we compare and contrast this to what we see in the betting market? He has Notre Dame power ranked number one. Oregon is number two. Well, hold on. Number one on the betting board at DraftKings, Ohio State 6-1. Notre Dame number two, 6.5-1. How about Oregon? All the way down at fifth at 8-1. Ohio State's number three for him. Georgia's four. Texas is five. Indiana, six. They're 8-1. Miami's seventh. They're 11-1. LSU 8th, Ole Miss 9, Oklahoma 10th. I'm actually very surprised that Humans is buying into LSU. He normally doesn't suffer fools, but that lets you know what Lane Kiffin brought in talent-wise, it's very hard to deny.
Yep. Like his call, so there's another person with Oklahoma pretty high. Right?
Well, Oklahoma returns a lot. The defense is always crazy. John Mateer is healthy. The thing that I agree with Humans here, 4-5. He has Georgia above Texas. I stand by Texas is more talented than Georgia. Georgia's a better team. And I bet this is where Matt is going here. He'll explain it later when he's on the air. But Steve Sarkisian can't be trusted. Mm. This guy comes up short all the time, especially when there's expectations. Georgia's lost a lot, especially at receiver, tight end. even on defense, they've been gutted the last 2 years. They always develop and find guys, so I'm not doubting that. It's just not as many known commodities this year for the Dogs. They have Gunnar Stockton back. They have a run game back. They love the tight end Lawson Lucky. Humphreys returns at receiver, but it's just not a lot of dynamic playmaking, but they have Kirby Smart. And because they have Kirby Smart, and he does this year in and year out, and in big games specifically, I trust him, you have to side with Georgia over Texas. Texas is the better team. Texas has way more talent. They have way more upside to go on a run here. But until I see it from Steve Sarkisian, I have a very difficult time backing him because I don't really understand how he gets to be the head coach of Texas. There's nothing in his past, in his resume, that warrants maybe the best job in all of college football now that you can spend money.
Yeah, that's. Would you have Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio State, though, all clearly ahead of those two?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have Notre Dame number one. I have Oregon winning the title just because I think some of their depth returning, and I like the build for them year after year. They've lost to the eventual champion in the last two seasons. It feels like a situation where they get over the top. Ohio State's really intriguing. Julian Sain is a guy that I have not been high on, but they kind of had training wheels on him last year. And if you look at the numbers are incredible for him. But I just don't buy everything they lost on defense combined with not totally trusting Sain and Arthur Smith at OC. I don't know about Ohio State as a national champion. They're a playoff team. But I don't know if they're a national champion.
Yeah, the continuity feels big there, but I'm with you. He's not someone I've been overly blown away by in the past.
To check out Matt's top 10, get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. Baseball today, three plays for me, Kelly. Let's go Cardinals-Yankees under 8 in that contest. Mike McGreevy's not pitching all that well lately after allowing a lot of contact all year. First time for him facing Yankee hitters who have not been doing well at the dish. Cam Schlittler, 1.93 ERA last five starts off one earned at the White Sox. Cardinals enter this one on an underrun of 19-8-1. The Yankees 17-9 underrun. The Yankees team total is on an 18-8 team total run. So that just lets you know how they're performing against the market. They're not scoring based on what the market thinks they're going to get to. McGreevy 6-0 to the under as a road dog of even money or higher. I really like the under in that game between those two. I'm also going to take plus money on the Cubs. I don't love betting against the Dodgers who are on a three-game losing streak, but the reality is I like the matchup here. You got Matthew Boyd off seven shutout innings at the Cardinals. He has a 1.67 ERA his last five starts, four were on the road. He comes back home, and Robleski on the other end for the Dodgers facing a Cubs offense that's second in OPS against lefties, and he's starting to get hit a little bit. Five earned in six innings against Seattle, 3.26 ERA last four starts for him. So it's been a little bit higher. 3.26 ERA is still good, but this is a guy like McGreevy for St. Louis has been getting away from not having like dominant, overwhelming stuff. I think the Cubs can make him pay. And then the last one for me, give me Milwaukee -140 against the Buccos. I don't really trust Bubba Chandler right now. He's been up and down lately. Three earned, four innings against Arizona last start for him. Brandon Sproat just completed six innings for the first time in a while last start against the San Francisco Giants. Last 2 months down to a 3.71 ERA, over a strikeout per inning. Milwaukee's 36-20 at home. I'm going to back the Brewers, the better baseball team here.
I like it. I think I'm going to join you on the Cubs because I think I'm going to play that side today. And if they lose, I'm going to jump in on the monthly wins market.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. What do we got from Gil today?
Nothing from Gil Alexander. We have bets from Greg Peterson. Pirates Brewers over 8.5. He's on the Dodgers money line, so we will be going oppo with Greg on that one. Also on the over in that game, 8.5. He got that at. There are eights out there now. What did he say during the segment? We have wind blowing in or not wind at all, really, at Wrigley. I think it was light. I think that's what he said. Okay, Giants money line as well for Greg, +102 over the Rangers.
6.9 mile an hour winds.
Okay. And then Blue Jays Astros under 9 for Greg. And then Michael Montesano joined us earlier. He had a bunch of college football for us. Toledo over 7.5 wins at -130 in the MAC. He also has Western Michigan to win the conference, +350. In the SEC, played a couple conference win totals. Florida under 4.5 conference wins. LSU over 5.5 conference wins. And then another one you liked, Troy to win the Sun Belt West Division at +350.
Yeah, that's one that we got turned on. We had David Schultz on a few weeks ago from Sun Belt Conference Media Days. And they return both their quarterbacks. And it's more about, I'm just finding ways to fade James Madison. It's not that I don't think Billy Napier won't be better going back to the Sun Belt level. It's just they return nobody.
Yeah.
To be favored by that much for this league, I don't know, man. That felt awfully lofty. I think Troy, who was in the title game a year ago with both quarterbacks back, to me, that jumps out way more to me.
This is all something you brought up to Mike. It's been a little bit of a blind spot for me, though, too. It's the make a bet like that, but then sprinkle on some of them just to win the conference, too.
100%. Hey, that'll do it for us on a numbers game. Stay tuned after us. Prop points, Nick Whalen, Eric Halterman. Then you have Money Moves, Stormy and JVT at 2 p.m. Eastern. Follow the money after them at 4 o'clock Eastern time. For Kelly, I'm Dustin. See you next time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.